You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Hey guys, I want you to, as we begin today, just think in your mind, do you know anybody in your world who's going through troubles right now? Like gut punch, got to get them out of this, limbo, pain, you name it. Maybe it's relationship troubles, like marriage is not going well, or their friend group stinks. Maybe it's medical problems, like serious chronic medical issues, or something legal that's going on, something financial. Maybe it's, you're like, hey, it's me, not others. I'm going through troubles right now. We're going to talk about today how your natural instinct, my natural instinct, which we all share in our troubles, may be the opposite of what we actually need. We may need those troubles, though we want out of them. That was our natural instinct. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Eric Grace, that she's had chronic migraine headaches for like a decade. And so I've never had migraines. I don't know how to relate to that, but I've seen her walk into church before, dark sunglasses, almost kind of doing this, not moving her head or body. Like it's horrific. She's gone through times where she's gone through like every 3-day cycles of horrific, going into migraines, in the migraine, coming out of the migraine. And so just recently, she's tried everything. She's prayed like crazy, asked for prayer, every medical solution known to mankind. She called for the elders of the church, James chapter 5, to anoint her with oil and pray over her for healing. And just recently, after a decade of this, a new drug came on the market and she took it. And she's been several weeks migraine free. Her face looks better, less tension. And but she made the comment, by the way, you would think migraines for a decade, you could kind of get frustrated with God. That was her trouble she was going through. And she says, I'm thankful for my migraines. How would you be thankful for migraines? She says, my family of origin, my dad always got super angry, upset, and would lash out. And that was passed on to me as a parent, to get upset, angry, and lash out. The challenge, though, was with a migraine cycle, if I get stressed out, it would trigger more migraines. So I couldn't lash out like that. And I realized, she said, after a decade of this, that God was protecting my kids, breaking the cycle of anger and lashing out. My migraines were helpful in protecting my kids from the cycle of my family of origin. Could it be that your natural instinct to stop this trouble, whatever trouble you're in or somebody else is in, you desperately want them out, is not helpful to you or to others or for God's kingdom? You may even need, potentially, those troubles not to go away yet. That's our topic. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll dive in. So, Lord, we do come to you. And we recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and our Savior. And God, we thank you, God, that you allow troubles in our lives and that you don't prematurely deliver us. There's people that's a foreign concept right now. Maybe they're not a follower of Jesus. God, I pray they would surrender to you today. Or they all are a follower of Jesus and they can't fathom, no idea why that might be helpful to them. And God, open our eyes to the story of Joseph and the gospel of Jesus Christ and our life. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. We are in the second week through the life of Joseph from the book of Genesis. So you can turn to Genesis 37 in just a moment. We're going to be there. So why would we study the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis? Really on three levels. So there's Joseph's life, foreshadowed Jesus, and helps us today. These are the three ways we interpret scripture, kind of three levels of interpretation of every story in the Bible. Every weird law can be taught historically, doctrinally, inspirationally. Historically, what does the Bible say? There was a real man named Joseph. He's got an amazing story we're looking at. Historical. Doctrinal. How does Joseph's life foreshadow Jesus? You can actually see details about the gospel and Jesus before he came, pictured by Joseph's life. Historical, doctrinal, inspirational. Like Joseph and Jesus' story helps us in our lives today, particularly regarding troubles. So who was Joseph from the book of Genesis? The one-line summary comes from Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He summarizes Genesis Joseph this way. God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles. The word troubles, by the way, is the Greek word thlipses, from which we get the words like tribulation, stress, troubles, trials. It's a word, by the way, if you go to the root word, means constriction. The world's pressuring coming in on you. That's the way troubles feel, don't they? There's pressure, constriction in your life. And so we were titling this series Roadblocks, because our troubles are potential roadblocks in our journey with Jesus Christ. That they can refine you and grow you spiritually, or they can kind of stop you and you can kind of circle the wagons until you grow past that. And in his troubles, by the way, God doesn't protect us from all our troubles. He's with us in our troubles. God was with him in his troubles. And so we're going to see, by the way, in Genesis 39 in just a moment also, this phrase was used, the Lord was with Joseph. And so let's talk about this. Here's two principles for our life today. Last week we talked about family of origin. We started week one, family of origin, and here's our two thoughts from last week. Last week we said that God is better than the best parent you can possibly imagine. God is better than the best parent you can possibly imagine. That's who he is. And we naturally assume that God is like our own parents. We assume God's like our own dad. And if you missed that week, please, please, please go pick it up. Last week we started Joseph's life, his own family of origin. We talked about his family of origin and we felt better about ours. We're like, wow, he was messed up. Ours is looking pretty good right now. And so we naturally, here's the thing, this week, our two thoughts. Thought number one, we naturally want to escape our troubles. I want to. If you're honest, you do too. I've got several troubles in my life that I'm praying about. I want fixed now. In fact, yesterday would be fine. Get me out of this pain, these troubles. That's what you're thinking. This pain, this limbo, these troubles. How can you not answer my prayers? We all naturally want to escape our troubles. Here's the truth, though. God reveals himself in our troubles. That's the truth. It is in the darkness, in our troubles, that God's light shines the brightest. It is in our weakness, when we have no strength in ourselves, that God's strength we sense the most. It is in our ignorance, we don't know what to do, that God's wisdom is greatest. We need sometimes God, those troubles that God allows us to be in and not fix yet, so we can sense the Lord. And so we're going to be back in Genesis 37. We'll pick up the story here. So Joseph is like 17 years old. He's a high school junior or senior. He's 17 years old. He is one of 12 sons. So it's a big family. He's also the most favored son. He's like the number two. His father loved him the most, and he gave him this coat with multiple colors on it to show his special love. And his brothers hated his guts because he was the favored one. And so we're going to be, remember, we naturally want to escape our troubles, and Joseph, I'm sure, did as well. But God reveals himself most in our troubles. And so back in Genesis 37, here's what we're going to see. Joseph is betrayed by those he loved. Joseph was betrayed by those he loved. Have you ever been betrayed? Like serious betrayal? You might be young enough, you're like, okay, you're betrayed, like the kind of gut punch, sucker punch to your soul that, oh, you had no idea that was the situation. Oh, like that's kind of betrayal. What is betrayal? Betrayal is when someone is disloyal to you, when they have violated your trust, they've committed acts of treachery. And you are stunned to learn that this has happened. That's betrayal. So remember, as we go through here, remember Joseph's life foreshadowed Jesus. You're going to see, if you watch carefully, a picture of the gospel of Jesus 2,000 years ago, of how much God loves us in the story of Joseph. So let's talk about Joseph. He has this dream. He tells his brothers. His brother hate him. It says in verse 5, Genesis 37:5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. And they hated him even more. So let's talk about his two dreams. The first dream he has is of sheaves of wheat in the field. He dreams that him and his brothers are in the field, and they're all harvesting. What is a sheaf of wheat? It's like one of these. You take wheat, which is now dead. It's dead. It was alive, now it's dead. You bundle it together, you lay it on the ground. That's a sheaf of wheat. He dreams that him and his brothers are in the field. They're all harvesting, and his sheaf of wheat, which is dead, comes alive. It rises. It rises, stands up. Then his brother's sheaves of wheat also rise, and they bow before his sheaf. And he's either so confident in God or so foolish about his brothers, he tells them this story. And they're like, you think we're going to bow down to you? Who do you think you are? He has another dream. It's a dream of the sun, the moon, the 11 stars. And in this picture, you got a picture. This is Joseph. He actually pictures himself. The sun bows down to him. The moon bows down. The 11 stars bow down to him. I don't know how a sun bows. It's a dream. It shouldn't have to make sense, right? These round objects are bowing before him. Don't miss this. The heavens are bowing at his feet. He tells his brothers and his dad this story. His dad's like, who do you think you are? The sun must be me. The moon must be your mom. Mom and I are going to bow down. Who do you think you are? He tells this dream. Remember, Jesus is pictured by the story of Joseph. Joseph foreshadowed Jesus. So then, his brothers are in the field, and his dad sends him, the ancient father, sends his beloved son to go visit the children of Israel. It says in verse 14, then he, that's the father, said to him, there's Joseph, please, go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Okay, he was sent there, and the brothers can see that multicolored coat from a mile away, and they conspire to murder him. It says verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. What is a conspiracy? It's a secret meeting. They have a secret meeting to plan out his murder. So they grab him and they strip him of his clothing. Verse 23. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. So he stripped down. And then they put his body under the ground. Verse 24. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Well, Judah is the fourth brother, and he's the financial guy. He's like, why do we murder him? We can't make any money. Let's sell him for 20 pieces of silver. Verse 28. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Put yourself in Joseph's position here. Have you ever been betrayed? The shocking, stunning, I had no idea this was the reality. This was going on. He finds himself on a caravan, locked up, headed to Egypt, watching his brothers shrink in the distance. We naturally want to escape our troubles as soon as possible. The stunned nature of his betrayal. Couldn't believe it. How can this happen? One of the brothers who did not want this to happen is the oldest one. His name is Reuben. Don't miss this. The oldest one comes to where the body should be, under the ground. The body's gone. Verse 29. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes. So Joseph was betrayed by those he loved. It's a sickening, horrifying betrayal. But God does reveal himself most in our troubles. And here's the deal. This whole picture, this is a picture of Jesus. Jesus was betrayed by those he loved. As you read this story, Joseph, more than any other character in the Old Testament, has detail after detail. He's a living foreshadowing of who Jesus would be. Because Joseph had a dream, told his brothers hated him. Jesus had a dream of the kingdom of God, a vision of a kingdom of God where he would rise first like the wheat, dead and now alive. Others rise and bow at his feet. That's Jesus. Oh, and by the way, the sun and the moon and the stars also bow before Jesus' feet. He is creator and Lord of all. And his brothers hated that. So he was sent by the ancient father, the ancient of days, to go to the nation of Israel. They conspired against him to kill him. They stripped his clothing and put him on a cross. They put his body underground in a tomb, sold him not for 20 shekels of silver, but 30 shekels of silver. And when one of the disciples who didn't want it to happen visited the place where his body should be, in Joseph's case, it was Reuben. In Jesus' case, Mary Magdalene. The body was gone. And they thought it was a disaster. He was not there. Guys, this is a picture of Jesus Christ. And where Joseph never chose this, who chooses to get betrayed? Like, okay, yeah, here comes the betrayal. I'll just let it happen. No one chooses that. Jesus did. Jesus loves you so much. He chose Judas as one of the 12. He chose to be betrayed so he could go to the cross, pay for our sins, die and rise again, so the kingdom of God could spread to your soul and around this world. Guys, this is the story of Jesus Christ and his love for us, that he willingly chose this. That's our Savior. And guess what? In the gospel, God showed himself the most. He revealed himself the most in the gospel 2,000 years ago. We naturally want to escape our troubles, but God reveals himself most in our troubles. Maybe you're in trouble right now. You want out. You can't figure out how God is not fixing this. Maybe it's helpful. So God did reveal himself most in Joseph's troubles. Now, we're going to be in Genesis 39. So turn two chapters later. But he revealed himself most in Joseph's troubles. When you read through Joseph's life, when he's 17 years old, life is good. God is with him. But God doesn't point out he's with him. It's not until misery happens that you see this phrase now appearing. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And so in verse 1, Genesis 39, verse 1, he's 17 years old. He's far from home. He's alone. And he's a slave. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Okay, he's purchased, and he's working for a military commander. And in his slavery, by the way, a 17-year-old slave doesn't enter at the top of the organizational chart. He enters at the bottom of the organizational chart. And whatever they gave Joseph, it just turned to gold. God blessed him. Like every time, he was blessed with business prosperity. He promoted him. Well, I'll make you this. He's blessed that. Well, promote him again. He got promoted until he was second in charge. Second in charge. Don't miss that. So it says in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. We don't see that phrase until he's miserable. God reveals himself most in our troubles. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Guys, it's not just us sensing God with us in our troubles. Others around us will also see that in us, see the difference in our lives. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It was his prosperity, his business success that kept happening, that people kept saying, wow, God is with this guy. And I pointed out every time he went anywhere, he was always promoted to number two. In his family, he was the favored son, number two. In Potiphar's house, he became head of the household, number two. In jail, the warden finally promoted him as a prisoner. Lock up, I'm going home. Who does that with a prisoner? Number two. And became the governor. In the government, he became number two behind Pharaoh. Why? Jesus is number two. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Every time he became the number two person in his organization, number two in the organization. So now he's got the mid-20s dream. So it's several years, he's not 17, he's probably mid-20s, 25, 26, 27, that range. And he's young, he's good-looking, he's strong, he's successful. And his boss's wife wants to sleep with him. And I'm pretty sure, with a big, powerful, successful person, she probably was a candidate for Real Housewives of Egypt, you know? I'm talking about... She probably was pretty. and no moral character. Real Housewives of Egypt. And so, so she offers, what mid-20s guy successful says no to this woman who keeps saying, it'll be a secret. Just sleep with me. Sleep with me. Sleep with me. He wouldn't do it. Verse 9. Why wouldn't he do it? Because God would know. He says, there is no one, this is his speech to her, there is no one greater in this house than I. I'm number two in this household now. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife. He reminds her she's married. Like, you're his wife. How can this be? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He's aware that God would know this is a sin, that he was following the Lord. But she kept after him. Verse 10. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. It's like she would brush by him. She would pass notes. She would look at him. I'm not sure what you do. Wink. That was not in my notes, and I probably should take it out. Please, Lord, wipe that out of their memories. But I just did that. That is a horrific thing. But she was after every day. And guys, he wouldn't even start down the path of sexual activity. He wouldn't be caught alone with her. She was after him, so he made sure he was never caught alone with her. So it wasn't a he said, she said kind of a situation. And then he was caught alone with her. And she jumped him. She literally grabbed his coat. She was stripping him down. And again, he stripped of his clothing. Picture Christ. She strips his clothing off. He wriggles out. He runs away from this adulterous situation. Runs out. It's his word against her word. And one piece of evidence. The coat. Well, how did she get your coat? Now, guys, if your wife tells you that somebody on your team is trying to rape your wife, how do you respond? Not kindly. Fire is in your soul. He's lucky he didn't murder him. He got thrown in jail. It says this in verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison again. Like, how could God let, like many of us, if this happened a second time, God, how could you do this to me? But the Lord was with him. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. I mean, in his troubles, God kept revealing himself most and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And I'm sure Joseph naturally wanted to escape his hurt and his pain, his troubles, but God revealed himself most. Every time he got darkness, God kept showing himself in that situation. Let's talk about us now. God does reveal himself most in our troubles. And you might be in a situation that you cannot fathom why God's not fixing it. You have prayed and you're tired of praying. I am sick and tired of not getting my prayers answered. Like my friend. Migraines for a decade. Can't fathom why God was letting this happen. The cycle of anger and lashing out passed on by my dad was not passed on to my kids. Because of the blessing of the horrific migraines I've had. Could it be that there's a larger story going on? You don't know that story yet. Could it be you need those troubles? Could it be God knows more than you? Not likely, I realize, but God knows more than you, potentially. Something Jesus said in John 16, verse 33. Here's what Jesus said. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. That's what Jesus offers us in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay, let's talk about this verse here for a second. We'll unpack it. So he says, in the two things, in me, that's for people only who have Jesus Christ as Savior and are clinging to him, in me, you can have peace. There's the promise. In the world, you will have tribulation. That word tribulation is the same word in Greek, thlipsis, which we read in Acts 7. Stephen says, God was with him and delivered him out of all his Thlipsis in Greek. All of his troubles, all of his tribulation. Yes, God was with Joseph in tribulation. Jesus said, you can't avoid hard times. I can't avoid hard times. That's the nature of this world. In this world, you will have tribulation. Wouldn't it be nice to avoid all problems? Guess what? That's not this world. I'm going to make a case for a second, though, that not just you can't avoid troubles and trials, but that you need them. Three quick reasons why you need troubles as a follower in Jesus Christ, or not a follower of Jesus Christ. Number one, you need troubles because, number one, it causes you to seek God. I'm telling you, it causes you to seek God. Look back in your own life. Tell me that when you're in troubles, you weren't more God-aware, praying more often, seeking Him. Troubles cause people to seek God. I can't tell many people the years show up at Grace and they're seeking God. It's a 911 call. Dear God, get me out. It is the 911 call. Our troubles cause us to seek Him. That's the blessing. First blessing of troubles. James 1:5 says, when you lack wisdom, ask. If you don't know what to do, ask. He'll give. So there's a reason you and I have troubles. And it's not fixed yet. It's causing you to seek God more than you sought God before. That's a benefit. Here's another benefit of having troubles in your life. Troubles change you on the inside and grow you more like Jesus. They change you on the inside, grow you more like Jesus. So you can write down Romans chapter 5 on this one. And Paul talks about this word tribulation and says there's a whole series of events that happen in your soul when you go through troubles clinging to Jesus. Tribulation happens, he says, but that leads to perseverance. What's perseverance? Spiritual backbone, spiritual guts, spiritual strength. Going through troubles clinging to him, now you've got spiritual strength, backbone, guts. Perseverance, though, leads to character. So now you're different on the inside. So you're more calm than you used to be. You're more patient. You're more gracious. You're more forgiving. You're more loving. You're more like Jesus. Like tribulation, perseverance, Christ's character growing in you, hope. Hope is confidence. The next time you're in a trouble situation, you're like, God's got this. Like, I've been through this and that and this. God is with me. I don't care if I sense Him or not. Faith, I know He's there. I know He's listening. I know He loves me. I know this is settled. There's benefits. Troubles cause you to seek God. They grow you more like Christ. Number two, here's the third reason why we need troubles. Troubles remind you this world isn't home. This world isn't our home. It's this world. If life was so good and you had no tribulation, you wouldn't look forward to meeting Jesus. You wouldn't look forward to eternity. You wouldn't look forward to the promise as much because it's so good here. Guess what? It's the gift of hard times. It's a gift. And you are not confused that this world is not yours. This is not the way it should be. So troubles are a gift. That this is not your home. It's not your home. He says, in me, you may have peace. So in Joseph's case, he is blessed by God. Business success, prosperity, wisdom. People keep going, both Joseph was aware and others were aware. God was uniquely on him for business prosperity. And God does that with certain people in Christianity, certain people in the body of Christ. God pours out. Everything they touch turns to gold. And God intends that blessing not to be for you, but for other people. You're blessed to be a blessing. You are a conduit. You're not the Dead Sea receiving, collecting. You're a conduit. You're a river where God blesses you to bless other people. But that's not the promise for everybody. Only certain people get that kind of blessing. This is the promise for every person in Jesus Christ. In me, you may have peace. This means that when tribulation happens and nothing has changed, you're just as miserable. At the same time, there's a sense of calm, peace, rest. Shouldn't you be more worried? I don't know. Are you sad? Yes, I'm very sad. There's sadness in my soul every day. But in a weird way, I'm not controlled by that sadness. I have peace. How do you have peace? Well, in Jesus, I have peace. It's fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. It's evidence that you have Jesus Christ as Savior. In your difficult times that are not getting fixed yet, you, because you're clinging to Him, have peace. That is the promise that people look at and go, oh, wow. God is with them. That's how you know God is with you. There's a guy in our church named Danny. And so Danny went through incredibly difficult times. He got cancer. He's a young guy, young husband, young father. He gets cancer. And it's in his darkness that he says God is right there with him. God reveals himself most, that he's right there in our troubles. Take a look.
My name is Danny Riegsager. My story started in August of 2012. Was dealing with what we thought were migraines. And so I was getting treatment. Couldn't figure out what was wrong. At the time, I just got my teaching degree. Had only been married for a year. Was struggling to work. Was struggling to be social. I was walking out to try to mow the yard. And I was just so dizzy and so much pain. I ended up calling the doctor I was with. I go in. I had an MRI on my head. As I was walking out, jokingly, or as a joke, I just said, you know, did you see anything? Get in the car, and we're driving, and we pull up to a Christmas tree farm, and my phone rings, and it's the doctor's office saying, we need you to come back right now. So we come in, and we sit down, and the doctor says, you have a very large mass on your brain. And it was like a movie. It was like I saw myself pull out of my body, and I just couldn't feel anymore. It was like I was watching this scene unfold that was just, it wasn't my life. So it's time to go to surgery. They're wheeling you down the hall, and I have my mom and my wife on each side, just staring at me, trying to be strong, smiling with tears in their eyes. And, yeah, it's something else to be on your potential deathbed. Laying on the bed, and they say, count back and just remember it, thinking, God, please let me wake up. Wake up to a very, very different life. Wasn't exactly myself for quite a while. Pretty aggressive, very anxious. I never realized how much I valued being myself until I was no longer capable of what I consider being myself. Just questioning God, like, why? Why did this happen to me? What's amazing is even when I wasn't capable of fully understanding the thoughts or the feelings, it was just that feeling or that saying of God saying, I have you. It's been 5 years now. I almost forget that I even went through cancer. You know, you forget of how crazy your life was. Am I going to work again? Am I going to walk again? You know, all these things, like relearning how to tie my shoe. I almost look back with fond memories. I smile on the time. So it was this summer, I was at Grace, and there was a message, and I remember it being said, even there. And we were talking through the Psalms, and I remember sitting out here and just having that stick with me, even there. The smallest thought to the most extreme sickness or injustice or all that, that he's always there, and he's even there. In the valley of my sickness, he was there, even when I couldn't fully understand. Just that he's always there.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.